Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby
and Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon show, which this afternoon, Andy, featured what?
Mark Richardson, the manager of one of Britain's worst teams, but you're here, there's a reason for
it. There is a reason, yeah.
Then we had a chat with Lloyd Scott, our old friend.
Yeah, that's right, Lloyd Scott, the man in the diving suit from the London Marathon.
Romesh Ranganathan.
Yeah, he was on good form, Romesh, got a new book out.
And Lee Ashcroft from Longridge Town, talking about their FA Cup tie tonight and how important it is.
That's right, former Baggies and Preston player. And England under 21, as you'll discover. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Ian.
Good afternoon, Paul. And congratulations to Amir Khan for the best timing of the whole COVID period, as he announced yesterday that he's bought a new 100 grand watch to treat himself. It's okay. Brilliant, isn't it? I don't have any objection to it. It's his money. Do what he wants. But don't flaunt it. I mean, for goodness sake, don't say to people, look at this, I've treated myself.
But hasn't Amir been out there sort of doing food banks and stuff?
Amir's
and
a
been
good
out
man.
And about in the
I know,
community?
I'm not having a go. I'm just saying,
he does
the timing is just so bad, yeah. Isn't it? Just, you know, have the watch, keep it. Don't you don't have to tell anybody about it. You enjoy it, great. That's
you've
your
got
money.
No, you've got no choice but to flaunt your new £150 watch because it keeps telling you how lazy you are. It keeps telling you to get up and drink more water, doesn't it?
It does.
Doing your head in.
What can you do? Anyway, I very much enjoyed the excerpt from Alan Brazil's new book this morning.
We want to try, and we've asked our producer, we're going to try and line Alan up as a guest on this show. Are we working on this? Is that going to happen? Yeah, Alan's got a new book out. So,
here it is.
So we're going to try and get him on.
Part of it says, it's no secret that Brazil has a reputation for burning the candle at both ends. Over the years, people have assumed the former Scotland striker has a drink problem himself. He hasn't. Only where to get one at 10:30 a.m. after he's finished.
Absolutely no problem getting a drink, Alan, at any time of day, or special coffee, as it's occasionally known, on breakfast back in the day. But we will get him on, yeah.
I take the mickey out of some of these letters that people write to, to newspapers.
Yeah.
But I very much enjoyed this one from, here it is, Edmund Fifield. I must apologise, actually. My notes are all over the place. I left them at home.
Yeah.
So the wife had to photograph them.
You do it about
three times a year.
Three or four times a year, you forget. You basically spend all morning producing all these detailed. I know it's hard to believe there's any prep goes into this, but there is. And he does all these detailed notes and then leaves them at home
feeling when I open my bag and there's nothing
how
in there.
How do you do it? I mean, all you got to do is just put them in there straight away. As soon as you finish them, put them in there.
Oh, because I was busy doing something else today.
Fair enough.
And I just left them on the desk.
All right, then.
Anyway, Edmund Fifield from Kent writes in. He says, how about Manchester United and Liverpool being the two teams that drop out if the Premier League is reduced from 20 teams to 18?
It's a good theory,
isn't it? Point.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine it'd be some kind of meritocracy and there's a pretty good chance that they wouldn't be the two bottom teams. So no, I'm guessing that's the answer old Edwin needs.
I'm sure Edmund.
Edmund, I do apologise.
He'd be upset if you call him Edwin.
Yeah, he's going to write another letter. I was called Edwin on national radio.
And you mentioned the Palladium last night with Arsene Wenger, but apart from Amir Khan's 100 grand watch, I can't think of anything more annoying than those photos of people sitting in a theatre when you can't go to football. Everyone's made the same point. There were at least five people not wearing face coverings. It looked pretty populated.
If you look at the seating, the seating is socially distanced. I mean, I think sometimes the angle of a photograph can belie
the truth.
There's
still plenty of people in there. It's still an enclosed space.
But I mean, I think, you know...
I'm in favour of it, you know, being open, but I just think there's no logic to having...
No.
Everybody's made the same point. There is no logic to that, is there?
You know, Adrian Durham had an interesting theory, which I'll keep his powder dry for him. He'll probably tell you about later on. He thinks this is government payback.
For football?
Well, he'll explain more. Look, it's his theory, so I'll let him expound it a little bit later on.
It's not a vote winner, is it?
4 o'clock. No, but he'll explain why. There is a specific reason why, but it is. So he should talk about it a little bit later on. If he hasn't spoken about it already, of course.
Now, of course, you can do everything on your phone now. You can turn your heating on. You can see who's at your front door. There's a new one now. If you're out for a run with your trainers and the lace comes undone, you don't have to bend over to fix it. Oh, no, you just get your phone and you go, tighten laces, and that's it. It's a new shoe from Nike that does that.
So you just talk in your phone and it tightens your laces up?
Yeah.
What if it... I mean, if you've got a bit of a Westworld thing going on and it tightens it to such an extent, it cuts off your circulation. No, they go blue and you have to have your feet amputated. That would never happen.
I can't see the point of it, really. But it says it, hey, Google, tighten my shoes. So I don't know if you that works at home if you're listening.
Yeah. some bloke's wearing a pair going, I don't think they're out yet, are they? The only thing is, though, Andy, if you're wearing a pair of high-end trainers, and imagine, you know, you're not going to get those in Sports Direct for $19.99, the ones that do themselves up via an app. So if you're wearing very high-end trainers, you work on the base that you're a fairly fit person, possibly fit enough to bend over and do your own laces.
Although I do, when you are out, as long as I've been for a run, it's pre-lockdown, but when you do go for a run and your shoes come undone, it is a bit annoying you have to stop. It's also kind of wind you, but it's kind of, you know, it's not ideal when you're in the middle of a run. So I can see the idea.
You ever tried the double knot? I mean, for me. I mean, you know, how often do they come undone? A lot?
Not a lot, no.
Oh, well.
Okay, what a marvellously pointless product.
Yeah, okay. But they're probably going to set you back 200 and something quid, aren't they? So you can probably get enough fitness to bend down and do them up. Anyway, we move on.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Very much a staple of this show over the years, these little stories that pop up from different parts of the UK, and they'll tend to feature a team that's let in a lot of goals, had a terrible season, made a bad start to the season, lost 38-0 in a match.
Yeah.
And invariably...
It turned up, we only had five players.
Exactly, because that's often been one of the reasons. But invariably, there's always been a solid, sound reason why. So what starts out as a bit of a light-hearted story of a team shipping a load of goals... leaves you with a great deal of sympathy for those involved. And I don't imagine for one moment this one's going to be any different, because you may have already seen today the story of Stoke Gabriel FC. They're a non-league side. They play down in South Devon, and they've let in 122 goals in 10 games. Mm. And so joining us now, tell us why, is the manager of the team, Mark Richardson. Good afternoon, Mark.
Afternoon.
So you've got a fair bit. How do you feel about this? Before we talk about it and we look at the reasons why this, how do you feel about the notoriety that you've gained today? You probably, your phone's been red hot and you're all over the papers, but how do you feel about it?
Bit surreal, really. Still getting my head around it.
I mean, was this, I'll take it, was just a local paper story that's captured the imagination nationally, I would guess.
It actually started on Saturday. We had Radio Devon at the ground. We did an interview straight after the game, and it's just taken off from there. Next thing we know, we're on BBC Sport, and it's just grown really quickly. So, since Saturday. So,
as I've said, there is always a solid reason, and yours is, I think, quite typical. That, you know, you're not a bad side. You weren't a bad side last season, but because maybe of the virus and other aspects and other issues, you've lost players, haven't you?
From my understanding, I've only been at the club for about 7 or 8 weeks. Up to COVID, everything was fine. For some reason, committee members, players, managers left the club, leaving basically no players and three committee members.
Wow.
So 4 weeks before the start of the season, didn't even have a squad, any players or anything. So we drafted in a load of the under-18s, managed to get some older experienced players in to guide these players. To be honest with you, the young lads have done really well. We just need to get a bit more experience in and around them, Sam.
Have you managed to get 11 out each week?
We have. Sometimes it's been tough, and some games at this level we've had like 12 players, one player on the pitch, and only two of those have not been teenagers.
Right, and it's a proper old school men's league, is it? It's School of Hard Knocks and all that.
It is. There's some good teams down there. There's some physical teams down there, which I think the young lads have struggled with, to be fair. But hopefully we're getting, say, bigger, stronger, more experienced players in that can guide these youngsters through.
I mean, on the one hand, it's great experience for the young lads, but on the other hand, I used to go to a school where we regularly got hammered, and it can't be fun. It isn't fun to lose heavily every week.
You'd have thought so, but the mood in the camp is absolutely fantastic. Before each game, it's the young ones especially, getting everyone geared up for the game on the group chat. You know, it's all positive, and yeah, no, they're absolutely fantastic lads. I can't big them up enough. You know, forget the results, forget how we're doing in the league, forget the number of goals shipped. The Reds are still high, the spirit's still strong, and there's a strong feeling within the club we're going to turn this round.
Yeah, that's good.
The worst defeat has been you've had a couple of 15 nils, I see, but you've had a 3-0 in there. I mean, have there been games where you thought this is the one we might win this?
We had a midweek at home against Ivybridge. Ivybridge have been scoring for fun. We weren't going into that particularly confident. We did absolutely fantastic in that game. We lost 3-0. It took them 70 minutes to break us down. That was only because we had to make a change, enforce change into midfield that kind of changed the midfield dynamic and that. So then going into the following game, we lost 18-1. Well, we did not see that coming. With the fight and the spirit from the Wednesday night going into the Saturday, we did not see that one coming. It was just a bad day at the office, as we've had many of those.
Are you still trying to recruit new players? Have you had some new players coming? Well, no, the goalkeeper's good, I understand. I was reading your goalkeeper's been your star man. He's been keeping everybody out.
Josh Organ, yes, we've conceded 122 goals. I must say he hasn't been in goal for all those games. No, he's been absolute quality. Mm. You know, saving penalties. He's been an absolute leader at the back. He's been vocal at the back, and I can see one day him going further.
And as I said, you're still recruiting. Have you had some new guys come in? Are we going to see the green shoots of recovery as you get some new players in?
Yeah, we're still recruiting. We've got quite a few people interested in joining us. We've got a game tomorrow at Axminster. We've got a new player coming in who lives out Honington Way, and he lives out that way, so he's going to be joining us. And we've had a approach from a player in Birmingham.
Oh, wow.
Who
okay.
wants to come down. I had discussions with him. I explained basically there's no money there for fees and stuff like that. He says he'll foot the bill. He'll pay his own petrol money. Offers there on the table. Do we want it? So I've put his hand off. So
here brilliant. Wow, brilliant. That's good. Well, let's put the word out there that if you're of a good standard, maybe you're not a million miles away from Paignton, which is where Stoke Gabriel FC are. You might want to get in touch with the club and with Mark and offer your service. I mean, are you kind of well cut adrift in the table because of this?
No, we're not. Tomorrow for us is a big game. We're playing Axminster away. They are the position above us. We're 3 points behind them.
Wow.
Then there's Bobby Tracy above them, who are on 3 points. Then there's Elberton, I think it is. But then, yes, then we could get a cut adrift. So tomorrow could be a big one for us.
Love to see you go on and win the league. That'd be fantastic.
That'd be brilliant.
All these new boys come in.
I'm surprised. John, our producer comes from Devon. I'm surprised you haven't volunteered. Do you need a 5'6" centre-forward?
We do need a centre-forward at the minute.
He couldn't play 5'7", he likes to point out. But he'd have to play up front in the three. I don't think, you know, he's not a target man, but he could certainly...
Could be a false number nine.
He could say, very false number nine. He's a Torquay fan, will you allow them?
Sorry, again, sorry.
He's a Torquay fan, will you allow them in your ranks, you don't mind?
Oh, I don't know. Being a massive Grimsby Town fan myself, I don't know about that.
Right, OK. Well, look, we know a goalkeeper, Lloyd Griffith, is a Grimsby fan. See if he fancies coming down and representing you in goal. So.
That'd be wicked if Lloyd had come down.
OK, well, he occasionally listens. So if the word's out there, get your kit on, Lloyd. Get down to Devon and do a job for them. Cheers, Mark. All the best. Good luck.
Thanks ever so much.
There we are. That's Stoke Gabriel FC, the non-league side, who have conceded 122 goals in 10 games.
If I was Lionel Messi and I read about that story, I think I'd sort of like get incognito. I'd turn up and say, look, I'll play for you just once. I don't really see the team thinking they're going to lose going to win 18-0. Suddenly they see Lionel Messi lining up in the opposition.
You showed great restraint in that conversation with the guys at Stoke Gabriel, Andy, because Adrian Durham has stepped in and done what I thought you were about to do. He said, Stoke Gabriel play an Axminster tomorrow night. Their pitch is like a carpet.
Yeah, I was gonna I did think it did cross my mind, but I thought, no.
He's here all week. In fact, he is. I think he's here most of the week. He's certainly back at 4 o'clock anyway, alongside Goffey with Drive.
I'll leave that to comedians like Rob Wilton.
Nice. Mr. Zeitgeist. And he's doing the Rob Wilton material. That's Woken Martin
Kellner.
I can't
think of any other comedians named
after carpet.
There's
no other carpet-based players, is there?
I don't think so.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Rug Rugby. Doesn't work.
Rug Rugby. Is that Scooby-Doo doing jokes now, is it? Go on then, carpet bait. No, let's not do that.
Floor covering base.
I'd like to say we're better than that, but we're really not. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport. Comedian Ramesh Ranganathan has a new book out. It's called As Good as It Gets: Life Lessons from a Reluctant Adult. And he joins us now. Good afternoon, Ramesh.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good, we're not too bad. Ramesh. Thank you. We're not too bad. You do point out in the book you're not offering advice or guidance to people. You feel ill-qualified to do this, but you say you're going to explore the various issues we all encounter and give you a few helpful and interesting thoughts on them.
Yeah, well, I guess sort of my lack of qualification is kind of my qualification, if you like, in terms of I'm not saying that I've got it right, but you can use my example as inspiration to choose a different path, I guess, is kind of the
My question to you is, I've watched a lot of, like a lot of people, I've watched a lot of television during lockdown, and most of it had you in it. I actually decided to list it all. And it is incredible what you've done this year. I mean, Ranganathan, I really enjoyed during the lockdown period, which was an interesting program. But how did you find time to write this book?
Well, I'd sort of, what happens is the publishers know that I've got no real discipline. So what they do is they say, they give me quite a bit of time to write it because they know that I've got no real rigor about it. So I've written it over quite a long time. And then when it started to get desperate, they organised this pandemic just to sort of get me over the line. So
What are you like with deadlines, Jan? Because, I mean, if you're writing a new show and you've booked a bunch of gigs, and I mean, we've talked to comedians about this before, you know, when you've got a big venue booked, it does focus the mind when you realise you've only got about 5 gags. So, I mean, you kind of comedians essentially are used to working to deadlines to an extent, aren't they, really?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm constantly writing stand-up because you just get into the habit of doing that or thinking up ideas and stuff. But what tends to happen is you're ticking over with stuff. And even for the book, you know, for the book and for stand-up, I'm constantly coming up with little ideas and stuff. But then when you actually have a deadline, it does just force you to sort of chain yourself to your desk and do it, you know. But you kind of, what happens is I take ages to do a fair bit, and then the deadline approaches and I realise I left it too late, and then it's and then I ask my wife not to speak to me for like a month while I lock myself in the garage. That's kind of how it normally works with tools and books.
Yeah.
You must have a very good relationship with your wife because you wrote about your love life in the Sunday Times this week. And I know you're doing the book as well.
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
I wouldn't say graphic detail, but it's
more graphic than most.
A few tales from the boudoir, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, well, I just sort of... I thought it was an interesting thing to reflect on. What kind of occurred to me was the fact that we're very much in love and we feel, you know, all of that, you know, we don't feel like we're stagnant in that regard, but just life gets in the way. And so I just sort of decided to talk about that. I would sort of put some of the blame on my wife because she is so unoffendable and unbothered about what I say that I sort of get lulled into a false sense of security that it's all right to divulge these things. And then I sort of say it on stage or write it in a book or in a column. And then friends of mine are outraged. You know, they're just like, I can't believe you've done that to Lisa. And then I feel like I need to have like a badge or something that says, my wife's all right with it. Just to put people's minds at ease.
Yeah. You gave her the right of reply in the Sunday Times, which she seemed quite happy about the whole thing.
There was also, I mean, I don't know if Sage got an advanced copy of this, but you were talking about your relationship with alcohol. And you say, what I discovered was that any evening with your friends that involves alcohol doesn't need to go on after 10 p.m. because after 10 p.m, no new conversation happens. How did you know? 10 p.m, this is perfect for you, isn't it? The cutoff.
Well, it just, you know what, it was funny because I'd sort of given up. I gave up drinking for about 6 months, and it was like one of the first nights I'd been out with my friends and they were all drinking. And what I had was a series of conversations. And then it was after about 10 p.m., everything was just sort of a remix of stuff I'd heard earlier. For the rest of the evening. It was a real revelation to me, to be honest with you.
I enjoyed the chapter on your mum and Zoom, and your mum's great, and she's so much a part of what you do, and especially Ranger Nation. But the bit you revealed about your mum's cooking, that people ask her for recipes, and she leaves a couple of things out, which I thought,
blimey. Like Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, she's a very good cook, particularly with traditional Sri Lankan stuff. And so lots of people ask for the recipe, and mum doesn't want to, you know, she's a people pleaser. And so she'll give them the recipe, and then, but she'll omit a few ingredients because she doesn't want them to get it quite as good as how she makes it. And then she only admitted this to me recently, and then people phone up and go, Shanti, thanks so much for that. It's not quite the same as, and she goes, I don't know, maybe it's like a magic touch. I don't know. Probably full work, but she's left out something pretty major.
There is a chapter on football, Ramesh, and you kind of admit your relationship with football has changed a bit, maybe because, you know, there's just a bit less time, but you're not, I mean, you're a big Arsenal fan, you were season ticket holder and a regular there, but you're not going as much as you did to the games, are you?
No, you know, it's because of work, and I sort of ruminate on it a bit in the book and think about my relationship with football because, you know, as I said, you know, there were years when I would go to every single game, and I do think when you do that, when you commit to your team in that way, when they do go on to achieve something, you do feel properly part of it. And then like a few years later, when I, you know, I've been busy with work and I hadn't been to as many of the games, when I went to, you know, I took my son to the FA Cup final because he was desperate to watch. And I enjoyed it, obviously, and we won. It was great. But I didn't feel that same sense that I'd contributed. Do you know what I mean? I just felt like I'd sort of turned up for that and I hadn't done the hard yards. And I know it sounds ridiculous, but that's how I felt. That's how I feel as a supporter, you know, there's something about committing to seeing your team and inconveniencing yourself to go and see your team and putting other things aside to do it, that mean that you feel like a greater sense of ownership when they go on to do well.
Yeah, no, I can completely understand
that. I read that chapter as well. And have you changed again now that you actually can't go? Has that made you sort of re-examine and think, yeah, that was how I was feeling, but actually, I wouldn't mind actually being able to go?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've become absolutely desperate to see as much football as I can now. And it has completely changed. And I think that one of the other things is that, you know, I'm looking forward to taking my kids to watch them and stuff like that. I do think when we have, in a way, you sort of reflect on how you've been spoilt in certain areas. And I guess it's an argument that I kind of took football being there for granted, and it took it going away for a bit for me to realise how much I value it, I guess. So, yeah, I do feel like I've gone back the other way.
Mm. Yeah, there's some great stuff about your kids in there, your relationship with your kids. And I thought it was interesting you said you've been sitting down watching sitcoms with your kids to try and find out what they make of the stuff that maybe you like and you used to like, and see how they find it, and they kind of show you stuff as well.
Yeah, well, I grew up watching stand up and watching sitcom, and so you do get excited to see what your kids are going to think of stuff that you thought was great, and some of it they really do like, and some of the stuff my kids have stumbled on themselves, they do like a sitcom. My oldest son likes, you know, he watches all kind of the big mainstream sitcoms like Big Bang Theory. He watches a lot of Friends. He watches a lot of Friday Night Dinner. He loves all of that. But equally, they then show me, I mean, they consume YouTube sort of ravenously, and they show me videos most of their entertainment centers around a YouTuber either playing a video game or watching a different program and reacting to it, and then them telling me, isn't it hilarious the way you went, oh my god, that was incredible, and you sort of go, okay, I mean, we're horses for courses, so fair play to you. So yeah, it is interesting seeing that kind of looking at it through it through their eyes. I mean, one of the things I became aware of is that our brains are wired so, you know, it feels like my brain's so wired so differently to theirs. And my oldest son in particular is really into Star Wars, and we went to watch the new ones, First Order or whatever, and he loved it. He absolutely loved it. And I was thinking to myself, I'm going to get him to go and watch the originals. And then we sat down to watch the original Star Wars, and I realised that that Star Wars is made for a mind that is not of 2020, because, you know, there's a 10-minute bit where Luke Skywalker is just having a chat with Obi-Wan Kenobi in his living room.
Yeah.
Whereas you watch the new ones and they move so quickly.
Yeah.
It's just a completely different pacing. It hadn't really occurred to me until I watched it with my kids, you know.
The other thing as well, I watched a lot of the Rob and Rom versus series, and in fact all of them, and sport features so heavily in that, and I've been fascinated how you've got into these sports like basketball, like NFL, where you were quite reluctant at first.
Yeah, well, I had a bit of a snobbery to American sports, really. I think I don't know. Partly, I think it's because I just sort of saw it as a bit hipsterish. It's also the nature of the high scoring element of it that slightly put me off. I mean, basketball in particular, I loved it. I fell in love with it. I think it's absolutely brilliant. You know, that just the nature of the physicality of it, the nature of how the scoring happens, and how you it seems to lend itself to getting really dramatic kind of closing. There's an argument that the first three quarters are ended completely pointless, but it is. I did find it really interesting. I mean, basketball, I really did fall in love with, and it's something I've followed ever since. The only thing I would say is there's so much of it, so you sort of get into it and think, I'm going to stay across this, and then it becomes like a daunting commitment where you start thinking, well, I'm going to have to sort of put aside time with the kids here to really get across this. So yeah, but we've really got into a lot of new stuff.
Good stuff. Ramesh, good to talk to you as always. Yeah. We'll catch up with you soon. All the best. Best luck
Thanks
with the book.
Thanks very much. Cheers, guys. Thank you. Take care.
As Good As It Gets by Ramesh Ranganathan. Life Lessons from a Reluctant Adult is published by Penguin and is out now in hardback. It's Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport.
The Hawksby and Jacobs daily podcast from TalkSport.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs daily podcast from TalkSport.
Now, earlier on in the show, we spoke to Stoke Gabriel FC and their manager, Mark Richardson, and Adrian Durham. They were playing Axminster tonight, and Adrian was straight in saying, I bet their pitch is like a carpet. And Marvellous. Then he gave us Ilkay Underlay That has begat a bunch of others.
Has anyone Underlay? Underlay Luxemburgo.
Underlay Luxemburgo. He's on here. One of the listeners came up with that one. So we didn't ask for, well, we kind of did ask for carpet-based footballers. We asked for it, and so you gave it to us. Max Rushton, TV and radio's Max Rushton gave us Robin van Persie, taught Andrew floorboards, Lionel Messi. He apologised for them, then came back with Allied McCoist. And the listeners, for Micah Richards, says Peter, the Chelsea fan.
Tabletop rather than a floor covering, I'd say, really.
Yeah,
Micah.
Yeah, okay.
Your sorry, usual rules.
And he's a bit of a purist. Sorry, you're banned, Peter.
He's a Chelsea fan. I should have allowed it.
Yeah. Jisung Parquet Flooring, says
that's good.
Craig, the Leeds fan. Burnt Lino, says Mac, the Spurs fan. Philip Laminate, that's very good, Dazzler. Underlay Luxemburgo says, Daniel, agreeing with you. Another Lionel Messi from Graham. Paul Parquet. Nicky Weaver and Daryl Yanmat. You're getting bored with them yet?
Walter says, not football, but Shag Parlo Neil. That's ridiculous.
Doesn't really work, does it?
Not at all.
Dimitar Berbatov. Anyway, you get the idea of those, and we may squeeze a few more in if you want to keep going. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHMJ.
The assistant manager of Stoke, Gabriel, has also contacted us and says they've got an Instagram account and they'd like people to follow them on that.
Okay, yeah, good. Let's see if I can get a few more players in. That was a nice story. But before all of that, Lloyd Scott, we've been talking to Lloyd. We haven't spoken to him for a while. Lloyd, of course, is a man you would have known. Mm. He was, for many people, a man in the diving suit. Walking the London Marathon route more than once, but he's done so much more than that in terms of charity challenges. And so it was a delight to see his name back out in the ether again, because, I mean, probably we've been speaking to him for about 17, 18 years on
absolutely,
and off.
Absolutely, yeah.
He's just done the Three Peaks Challenge, and the diving suit was back out again. Good to talk to you again, Lloyd.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys.
Yeah, it's been a while, isn't it? I mean, I think the last one we spoke to you about, your last challenge, because you've kept busy, you've still been doing them, haven't you?
Well, I've tried to come up with some ideas for my final one. There was like trying to cross a channel underwater and do a marathon through London sewers and an underwater ultra marathon down the Amazon or the Nile and things, but. Logistics kind of and health and safety kind of got in the way, but this one we had pretty much a free run at, so we managed to get this one off the ground.
Where did you get that original diving suit from? Because it's gave you a certain amount of notoriety. Where did you pick up an old school diving suit like that with a helmet and the boots and everything?
Well, the actual suit that I wore in the London Marathon, that's now, it's been ripped and repaired, and there's glued bits on have come off. So I actually had to, with what we're going to put the diving suit through this time, I had to get a new one. So I got it off eBay from a guy in Latvia, would you believe?
Oh, right, okay. What's the going rate for one of these? They're not
cheap. It was a few hundred pounds. I think they still use them somewhere in Eastern Europe.
Not for postage, I would imagine, isn't it? The boots and the helmet.
No. The other stuff was fine. It was just the suit.
Oh, yeah, okay. It struck me, seeing a picture of you on Snowden yesterday, it's a good outfit for these COVID times, really.
yes, it was mentioned that I'd perhaps overdone the face mask routine, but...
must have been, I mean, honestly, walking along the London streets is bad enough. What about climbing... mountains, aren't
you? Yeah, well, it's the Three Peaks, as people should know, is Snowden, Ben Nevis and Scaffold Pike, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It was far more difficult. I mean, the suit was, with the boots, it's really made for kind of dragging yourself along, not lifting your feet too much. The thing was with it that I've not climbed any of the peaks previously, and I wanted to go in it with a kind of fresh experience. But when I actually started at Ben Nevis and realised what it was like, I realised I was hideously underprepared for what lay ahead. But it was too late to turn back. I think if I'd actually had a look and see what it was like beforehand, I wouldn't have undertaken. I wouldn't have thought it was possible. To be honest.
So, I mean, look, with respect, Lloyd, you're not getting any younger, and in fact, it's your birthday today. So happy birthday!
It is, yeah. Thank you very much. No, I'm not getting younger. And I wanted to, you know, I've been involved with the charity I was doing it for, the Lord's Taverners. I wanted to do something, you know, for them. They're just such an amazing charity, the way they change, disabled and disadvantaged children's lives through sport and the sporting programs they put on. So I kind of know what it was like when I had my leukemia. And I think most of the country during lockdown would have realised what life's like actually without sport.
Yeah.
And I just wanted them, you know, I didn't want these kids to go through life not experiencing the enjoyment and the excitement and the thrill of actually playing sport. So it was something that's very close to my heart and something I really, you know, Chelsea, I really, really wanted to do something for and bow out on.
And you've met the, during this challenge, you met the man of the hour, Captain Tom.
Yes, that was funny. Yeah, we decided we were going to have a race, so there was...
But you in the diving suit?
Yeah, Captain Tom in the diving suit. That'd be ridiculous.
So there was this 100-year-old man racing against the guy in a 100-pound odd suit, like, you know. So it was funny. I wanted to let him win, otherwise, you know, the rest of the country would hate me forever. But he was such a gent. He actually wouldn't go in front of me. So we had to call it an honourable tie. Yeah.
So where can people go if they would like to make a donation?
So there's thelordstaverners.org, or if they go to Lloyd Scott Three Peaks Challenge, there is an actual giving page. It's called give.as/Lloyd Scott.
Okay.
Give.as/Lloyd Scott, and that'll get you there.
Okay.
I think I have to say as well that the support team and were just magnificent. I would never have done it on my own. I've never had to rely on a support team as much as I did to do this. The actual logistics in getting me up and the suit up, and we camped on the mountain, and getting me down again was I'm really humbled and forever in their debt.
Have you got any more plan, finally, Lloyd? You got any more planning to do?
I haven't. No, not that I want to do. I mean, again, I can't see how I'm going to beat this. Like, you know, there was great charity, fantastic support. You know, the Three Peaks. I mean, I remember the Star Wars, the first three Star Wars films, and the first three Indiana Jones films are all like really good, and then the fourth ones were a little bit not so good. So I don't want to get into that kind of area. Well, I think this one's going to be very, very difficult to follow up and beat. Yeah.
Well, if it is retirement, it's been fun talking to you. But if it isn't, we will chat to you again about it when you take on the next one. Cheers, Lloyd. All the best.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye bye.
Take care. That's Lloyd Scott there, the man in the diving suit, yes, many a London marathon. He's raised a lot of money over the years. All came, as he said, when he had leukemia, and that was when he did his 87. He did his first marathon, and then I think the outfits started to get involved as well.
Yeah.
My mate Steve gives us a Tord Gripper. I see that, and I'll give you a Gripper Rod Wallace.
Very good.
There we are. We're getting a few of these coming in now. Michael Hessian, says Dave in Manchester.
That's good.
Jens Underlayman, says Pete Mountfield. And what else have we got there? Does that work? Axminster Witzel, that's his full name, of course, David. Thank you very much for that. We've had Tord Gripper Rod, he's in from Daz. There's a lot of those doing the rounds. We are in danger of repeating ourselves.
That's it.
You know, that's never stopped us. But thanks for all of those.
Closed.
Thanks for all of those. That correspondence apparently is now closed.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, Ali Ross, of course, his wonderful column. Today he took aim at Steph McGovern, as he seems to do every week.
Right. And this is you should point out that this is a Channel 4 lunchtime show, isn't it?
It's
a kind of magazine,
us, really.
A magazine style show.
I don't
want
to give them too much publicity in case the listeners decide to go and watch Steph.
Well, I wouldn't blame them. Yeah, I might watch it myself. We'll put it on one day, Andy, and watch.
That's not a bad idea, because Pete has texted me a picture from today's show.
Yeah,
of Steph. Basically, the caption is, "Can you eat a biscuit off your face?" And there's Steph with a biscuit
It's the sort of thing, to be fair, it's the sort of thing we would have asked Mike Beauville to try back in the day. So, you know, we shouldn't take the moral high ground. like that's beneath us. We used to have a man sitting here eating an onion in under 30 seconds and stuff. So, we had no shame. So
I'll trust you to defend her.
Oh, and I'm just making the point.
Probably next minute we'll see you'll be a guest on
you
there.
You seem to think we're like the New York Review of books, but we're clearly not, are we? Let's be honest.
And Sue made me watch, my wife made me watch the show with Rochelle Humes and Marvin. It's actually really good. It was a good.
Yeah. You make them sound like a vent act, the husband and wife.
Marvin and Rochelle Humes
and Marvin.
But obviously it was recorded because they've just had a baby, which is lovely, and the third baby. But once again, I mean, maybe it's a family name, but they've named the top Blake Hampton. And I'm not sure that's going to do the kid a lot of good down the road.
What's wrong with Hampton?
If you go to a school in London, it might be a problem for you.
Well, but only if you go to a school with a lot of 60-year-old pearly kings and queens.
I don't think... Are you saying that Cockney rhyming slang is dying out?
I don't think the average kid in a Stepney school is standing there with sort of buttons all over their jacket talking about apples and pears. Times have changed, then. It's a different language.
Yeah.
It's a different language.
Maybe
it's from Lionel Hampton, the fine jazz vibes player.
Very much so, I'm sure.
Anyway, or family name. I'm guessing a family
Jemima
name.
Jemima and Mark Wright had a baby. This was in the Times today.
Did they? Okay.
And they're thrilled, as is their dog, Bagheera. So they actually mentioned that. I've never seen that before in a birth announcement. The dog got a mention.
That's good. That's great. I mean, that's what I'm all for, the dogs getting a mention.
Yes, I thought you might be. That's good.
Anything else?
What else?
Do you want some golf news?
Yes, go on then.
I've got golf news, which comes from a company called Golf Support. They're an equipment company. And they say that golf has a higher weekend injury rate than rugby and tennis. But then you drill down into the research. 65% of it admitted they had a bit of a Monday morning back strain. 59% said they get a bit of golfer's elbow. But then you get to the crux of it. 15% said because they fell over drunk at the 19th hole. It's not really a golf injury,
is
it?
A golf injury.
I mean, that could happen to you. You could do that in the street at any point. But I don't think that should come under a golf injury. But there we are. Football has the highest rate with 71%. Of people going sick on a Monday after playing on a Saturday or a Sunday.
Here's a great letter that somebody wrote to the Daily Star today. How terrible are phone chargers? Plugged in all night, but not charged because it slips out so easily.
Yeah. Why would you... Not Jerry Seinfeld, that, is it?
It's ridiculous.
What is it with golf chargers? No, mate, sorry, it's not really working, that one, is it?
Not really. And, I've got my thing, I hate when people say... I'm not going to be able to find this, so I'm bringing it up.
Not amongst all your photocopied notes, Andy, because you forgot your notes. Let's have a couple. I'm going to squeeze in a couple more of the carpet-based footballers. I'm afraid I do, while you're looking for the right bit of paper. Okay. JT, can't be that one, says, what about Trent Alexander-Arnold? Really poor, I know. Well, you said it, JT. The Earl of Hertford has been in touch. Good afternoon, your earlship. He says, Razor Ruggock. That doesn't really work. And please read this last one out. It's taken me an hour to think of. Franz Carpet.
That's all right.
That's an hour's work, an hour.
It's not great.
That's an hour, James.
But I'm not in a position to say
what you could have done with that time. But thanks for all of them. That's definitely it, no more.
This is today's Is It Just Me, which is a sort of thing that I really hate. It's a really sort of witless thing that people do. And anyway, this is today's Is It Just Me comes from Sarah Gove. And in the mail on Sunday, she said, is it just me or are fabric face masks a bit like socks? You think you've got loads of them, but somehow they mysteriously disappear. And I've written, and you thought my Trini Lopez material was bad.
Yeah, that's right. She's probably on about 200 grand a year for that stuff. You're not.
Exactly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on Talk Sport. We're going to talk a little bit of FA Cup now. And Longridge play this evening against Skelmersdale. They're both Northwest Counties Premier League sides. And we were saying earlier on that the FA Cup runs at that level used to be a bit about bunts, really, being able to do a few running repairs at the club. You know, and if you have a really good run, maybe building a new stand or painting the clubhouse or whatever. But
just taking care of the finances for a bit.
But now,
yeah,
it's life and death, isn't it? It's survival of the club. So joining us now, the Longridge manager, former player who played at Preston and West Brom, amongst others, Lee Ashcroft. Good afternoon, Lee.
Good afternoon, Pam. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Thanks. Yeah, as I say, the kind of priorities have changed. It's with everything that's going on at the moment. You know, a lot of chairmen used to come on and non-league chairmen to come on and say, "Well, we don't. A cup run is just icing on the cake. We don't factor it in financially." But, and I'm sure a lot of them still say that. But I mean, you have to at the moment, don't you? Because you're just so desperate to get some funds in.
That's totally right. You know, we plan pre-season usually at Longridge, and I try and get some bigger clubs that enable us to get fans through the door who ultimately, you know, spend a bit of money behind the bar, and we can get anything from 5 to 1,000 on, you know, 4 or 5 of them, and it pays for the budget for the season, if you know. That's not been able to happen this season. So, fortunate for us, we've had a decent cup run.
Yeah. How much have you made so far? What difference has the run you've had so far made?
I think we've brought in about 8,000 up to now, which is fantastic, you know, and that all goes into the pot for the season. But like you said before, there's still jobs need doing. I've been painting the clubhouse up myself over the summer with a couple of lads, you know, and just because we had nothing else to do, you know, and that looks nice at least, but unfortunately, we're not be able to sell beer there tonight.
Oh, that's a shame. I mean, I was going to say, that's the lifeblood of the clubs, isn't it? Beer and food. Is that because of sort of... local lockdown restrictions, or what's the story there? Why are they saying that?
Well, you see, you're asking the wrong person with that one. You know, I'm sick of hearing it from day to day. I think it just drives everyone, you know, crazy, doesn't it? You know, we're just fortunate at the moment. We're allowed to bring fans through the door, so we've already sold the 300 allocated tickets tonight.
Okay,
so they've
right.
gone. So that's a little bit of income coming in. But, you know, it's a big game for both clubs, you know, and whatever happens tonight, you know, both clubs have a pat on the back because we've brought them a long way, you know, in this year's FA Cup.
It's good to hear that 300 fans are allowed in at least, because I reckon even 300 make a difference to an empty stadium.
Oh, of course it does. And we've been lucky because, obviously, pre-season we've been able to have 150. First round in the FA Cup, 150. And then the last few games we've been allowed 300. We haven't even kicked a ball for the season yet. We've had, this is our fifth FA Cup game. We've had FA Cup game after friendly after FA Cup game. And our first league fixture is next Saturday.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of games tonight, isn't it? It's a big round, this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there is a lot to come. The I was at a game the other day in sort of Isthmian League Prem, and there was 350 there, but you were allowed to have a drink, Lee, and there was, I mean, yeah. They had a couple of the outlets going, so the club could bring in a bit of money. So it does seem a shame that you can't get the beers and pies on sale and make That's some right. money from that.
Well, we have been doing, but unfortunately this week we've been told we can't, so we have to abide by rules, which is unfortunate. You know, but I'm just looking forward to the game, you know, all that aside, you know, we can't wait for 7:45. In front of 300 fans. I think Skem will feel the same. It's a winnable game for both sides, both from the same league. So it should be entertaining, say the least.
And the prize money tonight, obviously, with each round, the prize money goes up to $5,500 if you win tonight. Yeah. So it's, I mean, I'll add a bit of extra spice, won't it, really? Certainly from yours and the chairman's point of view.
Correct. You know, I'm having a bit of pressure if we don't win tonight. So, yeah, it's a fantastic opportunity to bring some money in. And that's what it's all about, survival at this minute in time. And, you know, things are tight. You know, you still got to pay the referee. Really, the referee's bills tonight, obviously, 100 quid. So it's not cheap.
No, and it's difficult for the players because they know how important it is, and yet they've got to be able to play, haven't they? They can't be going onto the pitch with such a burden. They've just got to try and enjoy themselves.
Yeah, that's right. You know, there's no pressure on them. You know, they have done unbelievable to get as far as they have, to go away to beat a team from the one league above in the previous round, and then we beat the team two leagues above away against Stalybridge. So, yeah, whatever happens tonight, you know, we've done fantastically well. No pressure on them, and I just hope they enjoy the night.
What were your cup memories at West Brom and Preston, Lee?
Somebody asked me that question. I was at West Brom. I think I was only about 19 or 20. I was about 10 and a half stone wet through. We went and played away at Coventry in the fourth round.
And it was last minute we got a penalty. And facing me, Steve Agrizovic, and he is one man mountain. Mm. Like you said, and I was on pens. And last minute, I think there was about 28,000, 30,000 people in the. Anyway, I slotted it home and got the replay back at the Hawthorns. And unfortunately, they brought their A game and we got beat 4-0. Dion Dublin 2 and Peter in Love 2, I think, on the night. But, you know, that was a great little cut run we had there.
Yeah, wow. We're going to talk under-21s in a minute. You won an under-21 cap as well, didn't you, for England?
Some time ago, but yeah. I was fortunate to room with Andy Cole, and that was a story on its own. I could write a chapter about that. 4 or 5 days with Andy Cole.
And Ian Walker was part of that squad as well.
Yeah, he played in goals. He's a nice bloke, him. Very, very, very nice experience that. You know, fantastic. I was at Preston at the time in the second division, and I was coming up to 21, and they invited me, and I really enjoyed it.
Brilliant.
How long have you had the lads back? Because I'm presuming there was a long period during the lockdown when nobody could do anything.
They've been back a hell of a long time. We obviously at the start we only could bring them back in groups of fives and sixes, but they tell me they've had the longest pre-season in history, and they have.
Okay.
You know, everyone feels the same. I can't believe we haven't kicked a league ball, and I think we've been back about 4 months.
Right.
But yeah, it's been good. You know, he's got them closer. They're a good group. They're young, hungry, and I love working with them.
Good stuff.
Well, best of luck tonight.
Yeah, all the best tonight, and they keep in touch. Next time we speak, probably when you've got Man United at Old Trafford in the third round.
Yeah.
We know fans. That's not good to us.
No. That's a very good point.
That's true. But think of the prize money. That
well, January, you never know.
Things might get better. Cheers, Lee. All the best. Good luck.
Thanks for calling. Take care.
There bye-bye. We are. Lee Ashcroft.
Good luck to everybody playing tonight. It's
a
big
should.
Round
yeah,
for
it's
everybody.
It's a huge second qualifying round, isn't it, tonight?
I'm backing Mask United, I think.
Was it the third qualifying round? Together.
Topical.
I think, anyway, we wish him well. And, as I say, it's a pretty hand-to-mouth existence. There's some stories there by the sound of it. He said, I can get a book out of that.
Yes.
5 days with Andy Cole. So, when Andy's next in the building, which he is now and again, we'll have to ask him what the stories are likely to be about.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll do it all again tomorrow. We'll have Damon Hill and Johnny Herbert joining us, and we're going to be talking about goal celebrations and Tim Vickery and all that kind of stuff. So until then, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.